That's good. That is good. Well, we had a great missions conference, and Brother Drust called and told me he was going to be in the area, and I thought, well, we'll just keep missions conference going. We'll keep thinking about missions, and he came to our Sunday school class and told us about what the Lord's doing in Albania, and just a great presentation. Had a lot of questions. In fact, we could have gone a little longer, actually. People were still raising their hands, wanting to ask questions, and it's a unique country. A lot of challenges there. And anyway, praise the Lord for this church supporting them now for 10 years, I guess. Is that right? And so I wanted him to come and preach to us. Brother Drust, you come.
All right. Thank you so much, Pastor. Appreciate that. Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, please. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, I thought about the missions conference, and I'm sure it was a great time, and you're probably thinking, oh, no, another missionary. We're not done yet. I'm sure there's been a lot of coverage of the Great Commission, a lot of coverage of giving, a lot of coverage of a lot of those things. And I have a little bit of a dilemma this morning because I have three messages I want to preach, but I can only preach one. And I really hate it when that happens. But the Lord has directed me to a passage of a little bit simpler texts. I want to preach to you this morning a little bit about faith, a little bit about missions, and so just pray with me this morning. Also, you know, I've been, you know, normally in Albania I preach or I speak a few times a week, and I went from that to speaking in some weeks up to 10 times in 1 week. And so that's been a big adjustment on my voice box, and to say the least. And so I've been losing my voice in and out. So pray for my voice this morning. If you see my mouth moving up here, nothing's coming out, you'll know what happened. Okay, so just pray with me about that this morning. Now, somebody asked me last week, well, what qualifies you to be a missionary? Well, there's really four things. One major thing, of course, is God's calling on your life. Okay. You got to have that. You got to have God's calling on your life. Got to have God's direction. The second thing is you got to have God's word. Okay, boy, that's important that you have God's word and you have the right kind of God's word. Okay, some of it's not even God's word anymore. Amen. It's man's word. And if you got the good King James Bible and we've got it translated in the Albanian language, we're excited about that. So you need God's word. The other two things left is a good backpack. Got to have a good backpack, and you got to have a good bottle of water in that backpack at all times. It gets hot in Albania. That backpack is kind of a partner of mine. It goes everywhere I go, and my wife gets so upset. She says, why do you take that backpack everywhere? And I said, well, I'd take it on the platform if I could, but I try not to do that, but I leave it on the first row. But no, that backpack, I keep my Bible, my tracts, information, usually visa papers and things like that. So it goes everywhere I go. And it's gone everywhere I've gone in America since we've been here. But as Pastor said, you all have been supporting us for over 10 years now. And boy, I tell you what, we appreciate that. We are very thankful to have you as a partnering church. And I'm grateful for your previous pastor. I'm grateful for your current pastor. And it's great to see God still doing great things here in Adrian, Michigan. You know, as we travel, you know, a lot of churches are not where they used to be, okay? And I say that in the fact that some churches are kind of sort of teetering over here to the left a little bit, dabbling in the world, and it's great to be in churches that I grew up in, churches that stand by the stuff, stand on God's word, stand on preaching the gospel, and stand on what's right, in the sight of God. And I'm thankful that 11 years ago when we were here, you know, a lot can change in 11 years. A lot of people change. A lot of churches change. Some of our supporting churches have changed pastors 4 times in 11 years. So it's hard to understand where anybody is at these days, but it's good to know that your church is right where we left you 11 years ago, and I'm very thankful for that, and I'm thankful for your support in our ministry. And I apologize for my family not being here with school schedule and other schedules involved. It's been a little bit more difficult on this furlough. But I want to give you their regards and let you know that Debbie says hello. And I met somebody today that actually graduated in the same graduating class at Heritage Christian School in Cleveland, Ohio. And so that was interesting. It was good to talk to him. And we are from Ohio, and you know, I like October in particular, because in Albania we don't get any seasons. All we get is we go from summer to winter. We have no seasons in between, and so it's a blessing to see the beautiful trees turn. And I love Ohio. I love Ohio. I love this time of year in America. I love October because it means basically three things. It means the changing of the trees, which are beautiful. Secondly, it means missions conference time. And thirdly, it means football season. And it's exciting to see Ohio State really soaring ahead. We'll see what happens here in a few weeks. I think they play Michigan State. Is that right? They play them pretty soon. So, but I think Ohio is still in the number two spot the last time I checked. But anyway, that'll be an interesting game. And I love football, and it's good to catch up on. We don't get that in Albania. So, now today I want to preach to you. We're going to begin in chapter 11 of Hebrews in verse number 1. We're going to talk a few minutes about faith. So let's start off here with verse number 1. Now, the faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, I want you to hold your place there and flip back over to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Probably most of us have this memorized. But Ephesians 2, 8, 9, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Let's bow in a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for this wonderful church. And Lord, for their vision and their desire for world evangelization and missions, Lord, throughout all of these years. I'm thankful for that and for their partnership with us in our ministry. But today, Lord, as we meet, I want to pray specifically for those that may be here under the sound of the gospel that may not know you as their personal Savior. Father, I pray that you'll speak to their heart this morning. I pray that you'll convict their heart and help them to see a need of a Savior in their life and that they will accept you today. Father, I also pray for those that perhaps are still undecided as to what they're going to do in this coming year with regard to missions. Perhaps it involves a little bit more than giving. Perhaps it involves going. And Father, I pray that you'll speak to their hearts this morning. May your will and way be done in hearts and lives today, in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, I like to use this illustration when I'm speaking to our church in Albania. And I just simply use the illustration of pew or a chair. And, you know, faith is an amazing thing. And if we can get a hold of faith, if we can adapt it to our lives and learn to use it for God's glory, God can do great things in our lives. God can do great things in our churches as a result of that. I think sometimes the reason why churches are not growing, or the reason why churches are stale dated, so to speak, is because their faith is gone. The Holy Spirit is left, and all that's left are people filling the pews. And what we need today is a good dose of faith. We need faith to permeate our lives and to control everything that we do. And when I talk to our church in Albania, and they have a hard time understanding this concept of faith. And I said, you know, just take a chair, for example. You know, when you go to sit on a chair, I usually don't look at the structure of the chair. I just sit down. I mean, I just trust that chair is going to hold me up. And when we very simply talk about faith to the Albanian people, we say, look, it's just like a chair. You're trusting that chair is going to hold you up. You need to have a faith and a trust in God that He's going to take care of the things that you need in your life, whether it be giving, whether it be praying, whether it be going, whatever the case may be, God will take care of it if we just exercise a little bit of faith. The Bible even says if we have just a little bit of faith, even as much as a mustard seed, we could remove mountains. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never seen mountains removed. I mean, I've seen mountains removed by way of explosion in Albania. I don't know if you heard about that a few years ago, but we had an entire mountainside in a village go up in flames as a result of a demolition factory in that area. I've seen mountains go up like that. I've seen mountains be excavated in the state of West Virginia where they will flatten off an entire top of a mountain and put a shopping mall up there. You know, in West Virginia, we don't have much. I grew up there. We don't have much flat land, so everything's on the side of a mountain. But you know, I've seen those things happen, but I've never seen by faith a mountain be removed, literally. But God says if we have even just a little bit of faith as a grain of mustard seed, that we could remove mountains. And if we have that, folks, we can do a lot of things in our churches. We can do a lot of things when we talk about missions. Now let's talk a few minutes about salvation. Salvation is the same thing. You know, man really complicates salvation today. Man tries to create his own things and tries to imagine his own things. And the Bible says it's just simply by faith that we trust Jesus. If you're here today and you're complicating it in your mind with regard to this matter of salvation. It's not complicated, folks. All it is accepting what Jesus did for you on the cross, accepting that into your life, and by faith, trusting that He will save you and He will take you to heaven when you die. That's simply all it is. It's by faith, through grace, through the grace of Jesus Christ. And so when we look at faith today, we look at something that is very important in our church, very important in our life, that we need to exercise. Now when we look at missions, there's a whole lot of other things involved in faith. I'm going to attempt to kind of patch a couple of messages together as I go, so bear with me this morning. But I want to talk to you. I thought, well, what could I preach on? You know, and really, the Lord just kept bringing me back to missions. And I love to preach on missions, but I love to preach on other things too. But today I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about four basic things in missions that we need to get a hold of this morning. Simply the who, the how, and the why and when of missions. The who, how, why, and when of missions. Well, when we look at the who is to be involved in missions? A lot of people point at the missionaries. A lot of people point at the pastor. A lot of people point at the evangelist. Those are the guys that are involved in missions. But are we? Is it just us? Does it all come back on us? Well, let's look here in let's look at the Great Commission this morning. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28. Once again, I have no doubt that's been presented this week. But I want us to look at it again here in Matthew chapter 28. And let's do a quick review and then we'll go on. Matthew 28 here in verse number 18. The Bible says, "And Jesus came and he spake unto them, saying, All power." Now that part about all power, what is that? Because I've heard that my whole life. And, you know, I don't know, you know, sometimes we read things, we hear things our entire life, and we just kind of just take it for granted. But when we look at the all power part, that all power is given by God Himself, by Jesus Himself. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is the great claim that Jesus makes, the great claim. Then He goes on to say, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." So we have all power, and then we have all nations. Now within all nations, we have all people groups, and we have all the unreached people. We were talking a little bit about the 1040 window. Hundreds of millions of people in that 1040 window, actually billions of people in that 1040 window, that are not actively being reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So all nations, all people groups, languages, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, the Great Commission. Then it goes on to say, teaching them, this is the charge, this is the great charge, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now that word always, I'm with you always, that's the great comfort. So we have four things here. We have the great claim. We have the great claim that Jesus says that all power is given. Okay, all power. And a lot of times we go through life powerless. We go through life trying to do everything in ourselves. We go through life at the end of missions conference and we sit down and we try and work out the budget and we say, okay, well, let's see what we can do. But that's not the way it works. Where the all power comes in is our faith and trust in Him. All power, God has given all power to us, this great claim. And then He gives this great commission, telling us to take the gospel into the uttermost parts of the world. And we'll look at a verse here in just a minute that talks about that. And then we see this great charge that He gives us. We are to teach them. We are to teach them to observe all things. What all things? All things in God's Word. Everything that He has given to us in His Word, we are to teach them. Oftentimes, in Albania, we'll be in some villages. Now, we've been able to minister into a number of villages outside the major population areas, up into the mountains. Matter of fact, where the camp is, it's in the village of Prisk. And there are many people there that have absolutely no knowledge of the gospel. And I'm always amazed that when I go into home and I sit down and I open God's Word and I begin to share with them, they have no idea what I'm talking about. And so then I'll flip back further into the Bible and I'll start teaching from there. They still have no idea. I've got to go all the way back, folks, to Genesis. And I've got to teach them. I've got to help them to understand, how did they get here? How did the world get here? How were these things created? So we have to go back to Genesis and begin teaching them those things. And so when the Bible says all things, in many cases, in many languages, in many nations, you've got to go back to the very beginning and start from the beginning and start teaching your way through the Bible. So far, as far as I know, we've been able to teach from Genesis all the way to the very end over these 9 years. And in some cases, in some folks, it's taken that many years for them to get it all. And so the who is just simply us. It's me. When the Bible says, go ye therefore, that's a charge. And that word ye, that little word ye means you. That means me. That means all of us. And so that means that we are to go into the world. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we have to be careful when it comes to prejudices, that we put our prejudices aside. We have a real problem in Albania among Albanian people, and that's with the gypsies. And we've got 250,000 gypsies in the country of Albania. And as far as I know, no one is reaching those people. And those people need to be reached with the gospel too. We need a missionary that'll go to Albania just to reach the gypsy people. But I noticed very quickly when we began integrating gypsies into our church that our Albanian brethren had a hard time with that. Okay, they had a really difficult time because those are gypsies. But do you remember in God's Word how it talked about the Jews and the Gentiles? And the same situation applied there. And Jesus said, hey, when I gave my life, when I died for the whole world. My blood covered all the sins of the entire world, every people group, every language, to all nations. And so we have to put prejudices aside and understand that God is not willing that any should perish, but that everyone should come to repentance. Everyone should come to repentance. Now let's flip over here. We've looked at the Great Commission. I don't want to spend a lot of time there because I know no doubt that's been touched on, but I want to look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And we'll breeze through this as well. But I want to just touch real quickly on that, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'm going to need this water. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, but ye shall receive power. Here we're talking about that power again. But notice the word shall. Okay, I really didn't notice this before, but when I began to study this, and I heard another preacher preach on this, and he said that word shall, that clause word there, that connection word there, tells us that this is a prophecy here. God is saying that the power is given, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that ye shall be witnesses, shall be again, in both Jerusalem, or both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, Jerusalem, of course, Jerusalem is here. All right. When we look at Jerusalem, we look at Adrian in the city proper. Okay, but then when you step out and you go into Judea and Samaria, then you're getting out there farther, maybe perhaps where some of the buses went today. I know at Cleveland Baptist Church, when the buses go, I mean, we're in the city of Brooklyn, which is a suburb of Cleveland, but those buses go way deep into the inner city of Cleveland. It goes, dozens of miles, all throughout, the greater Cleveland area. And so that's getting into the areas of Judea and Samaria. But then we talk about the uttermost part of the world. That's why all these flags are in here. That's why you had a mission conference. But let me say something here, that we have to balance those things. We have to balance Jerusalem with the uttermost parts of the world. We have to balance Judea and Samaria with Jerusalem and the uttermost parts of the world. all of those aspects of what God is teaching here in Jesus' words is saying that these are all important and these are all included in the Great Commission that is given in Matthew chapter 28. So if we receive the power that God has given to us and in God's Word, and we shall be witnesses into these areas. And so Albania is the uttermost parts of the world. Some of these fields that were represented here this last week, that's the uttermost parts of the world. Some of them may be local. Some of them may be within the United States or in the continental United States. But those are, and by the way, America is fast becoming a mission field, if not already. And I was just up in Toronto, Michigan, in Ajax, Ontario, and preaching there. And the pastor told me, he said there are 400,000 Chinese people right over here in the suburb of Toronto. And I thought, my heavens. I asked him, I said, are anyone reaching those Chinese people? Are anyone reaching the Spanish people? Is there anyone out there that are reaching these people groups that are in and around Toronto of a population of more than 6 million people in the Toronto Metroplex area? Huge, huge place. Dozens and dozens of mission fields right there in the city of Toronto. Dozens of mission fields right in the city of Cleveland. A couple weeks ago, I came in from New York, and that Sunday I had to preach in a church in the suburb city of Lakewood, outside of Cleveland. And I pulled up to the church, little church. It's one of our churches that we've helped plant out of Cleveland Baptist. And I pulled up there, and I looked over to my right, and I noticed a lady that had some headdress on. And my daughter said, "That's an Albanian woman." And I said, "Oh, really?" And so I kind of hollered over out the window to the lady on the street. I didn't want to scare her, but I said to her something in Albanian. And I gave her an Albanian greeting. And right away, she looked at me. And she came over to the car, and we began to talk, and she's an Albanian. And in that city of Cleveland, there are over 3,000 Albanian families. And nobody is reaching those families. And I've often said, you know, if God ever would not allow us to go back to the mission field, we could certainly come back to America and minister to Albanian people. So if you're thinking, well, you know, you have a burden for the Albanian people, hey, you can do that right here in the United States of America and go to just about any major city, and you're going to find many, many Albanians here in the United States of America. So we should be involved, all of us. It is a mandate. It is a co-mission. And we are to work together. We should all be involved in world missions, right on down to the littlest child to the oldest man or woman. And then the second thing that we see here is how can we be involved in world missions? Well, I mean, honestly, that's very simple. I mean, there are many different ways specifically mentioned in God's Word, but the first, I think, is simply by prayer. And I mentioned earlier the power of prayer. I'll tell you what, it is phenomenal what God can do through prayer. If we are serious about our country and the condition that our country is in and the condition that our cities are in, if we are serious about that and we bathe that in prayer, I think God could do some great things. But the problem is I don't think we have enough prayer support. And I can't emphasize that enough with regard to missions, how much your prayers are needed. How many times I have felt the power of God's power of prayer in on our lives. And I want to thank you for praying for us over these last 11 years. Turn over, if you will, quickly, and we're going to be looking at several different verses. But in Luke chapter 10, and let's look here at verse number 2. Luke chapter 10, verse number 2. Well, let's look at verse number 1, too. Luke chapter 10. The Bible says that after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. He sent them two by two. So if you're wondering where we get the two by two method in soul winning and canvassing and going out there and witnessing, I mean, that's two by two. You got to have a speaker and you got to have a prayer partner, and then you can switch. But they were sent out two by two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. Okay, then verse number 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, harvest is an amazing thing. And as I travel in the fall months, I'm seeing harvests being brought in. Okay. Now, there's certain areas of the country where they're suffering from drought. For example, the eastern panhandle, West Virginia, all the way upwards into part of Pennsylvania, that whole arm there of Maryland, that whole area is suffering from a very bad drought. And as you drive through on I-70 and you see the crops that are literally dried up, okay, just they've not been able to do anything with it. It's a sad sight to see, but oftentimes I think that God sees the harvest as shriveling up because people are not going. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So we need to pray to God for more laborers. Maybe today God's dealing with one of you. You say, well, Brother Drust, you know, I'm too old, or I'm too young. You're never too old and you're never too young for God's work and for the harvest that is waiting to be brought in. And I want to say to you that, you just need to submit to Christ with regard to that. Christ says that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. We are approaching nearly 7 billion people on our planet today. 7 billion. And I can tell you that the harvest truly is great, and we can certainly pray, but we can also give. Let's look over here in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's look at chapter 9, verse 8. Chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Would you not agree that the ministry is a good work? Would you not agree that when we see somebody bow their head and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that it's a good work? And if we truly believe that and understand that God is able, circle that word able, God is able to make all grace abound. He's able to make the way for you to be a witness. He's able to make the way for you to be a missionary. He's able to make the way for you to be a witness, as it talks about in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. He's able to make it happen for you. Now let's look here at chapter 8. Okay, chapter 8. Let's look here, number 1, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Okay, Paul's speaking here. And how that in great trial of affliction, abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto riches of their liberality. The Bible says that this church, they were deep in poverty. I mean, they just didn't have a lot. But they gave and they gave and they gave. Let's look over here at verse number 5. Verse number 5. And this they did not as we'd hoped, but first gave their own self to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Well, I've said this before, that missions conference time, world evangelization, the ministry of the church is about the heart. Okay, it's really not about the money. It's about the heart. Because if God has your heart, he'll have the money. He'll have the finances. And I learned this concept 20 years ago that when Faith Promise Missions was presented to me, I thought, I can't do that. It just doesn't work out. It's just not logical. God began to deal with me about that. God began to help me to understand that it is a step of faith. It's a leap of faith when we say we're trusting God to bring it in. We're trusting God. Now, I think we need to be reasonable about that. I think if you have $1,000 a month and you say, well, I'm going to give $500 of that to missions, I don't know if that's reasonable. I think we need to be reasonable, but I think that God can do great things. You know the song, Little is Much When God is In It? I heard that song sung last week in a missions conference, and I wanted to just jump up and say, hey, that's me. I'm little, and I'm not much. But because my heart's in it, God has been able to use my feeble skills. Let me ask you something. Do you think that God is interested in your talent? God's not interested in your talent. I mean, if you've got great talent and you can use it for God, that's wonderful. But he's not interested in your talent. He's interested in you and your heart in the ministry. We have a lot of talented people in ministry. But I'm afraid that they're missing the boat because there's a part of their heart that's missing there. And the Bible says that these people, they gave their own selves to the Lord. Have you given yourself to the Lord today? I mean, have you given yourself? Have you said, God, I will put myself in the plate today. I will just say, use me. I am here. Use all my assets. Use everything that I have. Because besides, it all belongs to God anyway. And so we can give. We can pray and we can give, and then we can go. Maybe God's been dealing with somebody this week. And I'll tell you what, we are in desperate need for missionaries. It has been a mass exodus in the country of Albania and all of Eastern Europe. Now, there have been a number of reasons for that. Many of the missionaries that are there are aging and have to come back, bad health. Some of the situations are because of finances. But other situations, just because they're discouraged and they leave, they come back, and then they don't go back. But many missionaries are leaving the field. We do not have enough going back to replace them. Maybe you're in a position today where you're semi-retired, or you're retired, or you're in a financial position where you could just go and not have to raise support. I was in a conference about 3 weeks ago, and as I got up to preach, there was a little woman, I would say probably in her 70s, sitting right over here on the second row, and she just smiled, and when she smiled from ear to ear, you could just see Christ in her face. I mean, just sweet and precious. And I got done preaching. My display table at that particular church was right up here in the front. I stepped down, was at the table, and she came up to me and she said, Brother Druss, I just want you to know, this is a great ministry that you're doing, and I want to help you in the finances. And she said, I have also put my name on the email address, and she said, I want to come to Albania. And I thought, I've heard that many times before. And I thought, well, that's nice. So I was talking to the preacher afterwards, and little did I know that this woman sitting on the second row was an heir to a multimillion-dollar fortune. She's a millionaire, and she uses a great deal of her money, to advance the gospel. And I had no idea who she was. Never met her before. I'd been to the church a number of times, never met her before. And I said, well, she said she wanted to come to Albania. Do you believe that she's... He said, if she said she's coming, she's coming. So I got to prepare for this woman to come. And what a privilege, what an honor it is to have her come. And that she is willing to use her resources and all that she has for the sake of world evangelization in the gospel. So I want to encourage you today, if you can pray, if you can give, that's great. But if you can go, that's fantastic. And we need you. We could use you. And then the third thing here is, why should we be involved in world evangelization? Aren't we living in the last days? Isn't it time to just kind of sit back in our easy seat and just wait for Christ to return and just kind of do a hands-off approach? Isn't it time to do that? And the answer is absolutely not. Back in chapter 28 of Matthew, in verse number 19, God gives us the command and the commit. I don't know about you, but when God commands us to do something, we need to do it. My father was in the military. He was a sergeant. He was a medic and a sergeant in the Korean War. And when my dad gave out an order, when he barked out an order, guess what? It was a command, and you were to do that. And if you didn't, you got yourself into a lot of trouble. And those of you that are in the military know what I'm talking about. But when God gives a command, why is it that we just ignore it? Why is it that we just put it on the back shelf? Why is it that we say, well, maybe later, maybe some other time? In the meantime, millions of people are dying and going to hell. And we have an opportunity here to reach them with the gospel. So that should answer the why. And then finally, the when. When should we be involved in world missions? Now, you might say, well, of course, now. But many people have of the mindset that, I'm not in a financial position to do anything right now. So maybe down the road, maybe later on, maybe when my ship comes in, okay? Maybe when I was at my table one time, this was a number of years ago when we were on our last furlough, and people were coming up to me and we were talking about the field and discussing things about Albania. And so this young lady comes up. She was probably in her 20s, and she said, Brother Mike, I want to be a missionary, and I want to go, but But, you know, I just have to wait until I win the lottery. And once I win the lottery, then I can give my money to missions, and then I'll have all the money I need to go. And I said to her, I said, dear lady, that's really not the way it works. That's not God's plan. That's not how it works. And I began to explain to her, and simply, it's now. We need to be out there right now. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 16 that we need to redeem the time. We need to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Would you not agree that we're living in an evil day? Would you not agree that much is at stake in the United States of America right now? The days are evil, but we serve a great God, and we need to be busy redeeming the time. Certainly, the world is evil, and the time is, and you know, our time is running out. We really don't know how much more time we have in Albania. They're changing laws all the time. I heard recently of a law that changed that now will not allow us to go into schools and go to schoolyards. And we've always prided ourselves on great freedom in the country of Albania, but now we're seeing those freedoms being slowly taken away, being withdrawn, being pulled back. And so pray for your missionaries. Pray for freedom in those countries to be able to continue to present the gospel and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is said that 90% of all Christian work is being devoted to about 10% of the world's population. So I ask you, what is happening to the other 90% of the world's population? Much of that sits in the 1040 window. Albania just sits just above, just touches the 1040 window, just above that section there. And I can tell you 0.25 of 1% of the Albanian population are in a Christian church today. And not all of those are believers. We have approximately 10,000 believers in the country right now. We have a population of 4 million. Would you not agree there's a great deal of work that needs to be done in Albania? There's 2.5 million Kosovar Albanians just sitting to the north of us. Very few missionaries in Kosovo reaching them. There's 250,000 Albanians sitting in the province of Montenegro, now a country of Montenegro, that are not being reached with the gospel as far as I know. There's over 1 million Albanians in the country of Greece that are not being reached with the gospel. There's over 2 million of Albanians living in the country of Turkey that's not being reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you not agree that we need more missionaries, independent, fundamental Baptist, church-planting missionaries, to go to the Albanian people? If you agree with me on that, then I challenge you to do God's will today. Do God's will. Do what you feel God is pressing upon your heart. Don't change it, okay? If God's laid a figure on your heart over the course of this last week, and God has been dealing in your heart about what to give for world evangelization, don't change it. Don't fudge it. Just stay with it and trust God that He'll give it. If God is dealing in your heart today about a mission field, if God is dealing with you about that, then let's do business with God. Let's take care of it today. This has been a great missions conference. I've heard wonderful things about it. I was in one of those. I know what those are like. It's a fantastic time. You're on a high. Don't come off that high. Don't let the devil talk to you and speak to you and say, look, you just got a little excited here. Let's just calm down. No, don't calm down. We don't have time to calm down today, folks. We need more people going. We need more people praying, and we need more people giving. The who, how, why, and when is simply, very simple, simply put today in God's Word. And so I would challenge you today to do God's will in your life. Let's bow in a word of prayer, and we'll close the service. I want to thank you for your listening, and my voice held out. I thank the Lord for that. But now we come to the invitation, and let's do business with the Lord today. Allow God to work in your heart. Allow God to use you. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Say, Brother Mike, I don't know, but I'd like to know. I'd like to come and get saved today. I'm a part of the mission field today, but I'd like to come and get saved today. Maybe you're here today and God has been dealing in your heart about this matter of missions. Maybe it's giving. Maybe it's going. I would challenge you to respond in the invitation today. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the response of God's people. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you will have your way in hearts and lives today as we go into the invitation. Pastor.
All right, let's all stand, please. 277 in your hymnals, Only Trust Him. And I trust that you will do that today. If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, trust Him. Come. Someone will take a Bible, show you how to be saved. As we sing, you have a decision. As a Christian, you come. Whatever your need, you come. Come on, right now, God's speaking to your heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue to play. Don't get messed up with all the statistics, all those numbers. We've heard them all week long, all the percentages. Those are people. All right? Don't just think about a number. Think about a human, a family. A family like yours, a person like you. Every statistic represents people. They represent folks like us. They represent you before you were saved. Only trust Him. Trust Him with your giving. Trust Him with your own life. God, what do you want me to do? Trust Him. Just trust Him. Look up this way. Thank you, Brother Drust. Good message. Appreciate that. If you want to go on out to your table and kind of get a head start there, that would be a good thing. Everything's going on this afternoon, as far as I know, except for 4th through 6th grade choir. It will not take place this afternoon, but ensemble at 4:30 and everything else, 5 o'clock, all the choirs, all the groups meeting at 5. And, wait a minute. I can't dismiss everybody. We have to take a love offering. Amen. How could I forget that? I just don't know. I'm surprised you didn't, Brother Drust didn't slap me on the way out. But ushers, if you'll come, we do need to receive a love offering. And piano player, somebody come play the piano. Oh, Patty's over here. Okay, very good. All right. I can't believe that. All right, good, good. Let's give today. Let's be a blessing to Brother Drust and help him out. And take care of the needs that he has. Brother Fletcher, would you pray for the love offering, please?
Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to give some stuff that you gave to us back to you for your service. And pray that, Lord, you bless it for that use in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Let's let them finish up over there. Did want to announce also tonight, Brother Caleb Engel will be presenting the Youth Explosion, and he'll have some opportunities for you again to be a part of that. And last year, just had a great, great time for our first year, and had a good attendance, many souls saved, and so that was very successful. So he'll be presenting that tonight, and he'll be preaching tonight also, and trying to get you fired up about that. Are you fired up? I can tell.
I invited 100 people already.
You've already invited 100 people. Good. You got to hope they all come. That'll be good. Let's all stand. All right. Make sure you go by Brother Druss' table. And if you want to know more about Albania, there's information there that probably be a blessing to you. All right. Brother Tim, you want to come on up here and close in prayer for us, please? Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this entire week of missions conference and many decisions that have been made, and our hearts have been touched for various people groups in our area and around the world. Pray, Father, today that you'll again be with Brother Drust as he travels and tries to raise additional support, that you'll just give him an extra special blessing. Thank you that he has spent the last 9 years of his life in a tough area, just doing your will, going where you command them to go. May we do likewise. Just go where you tell us to go and do what you tell us to do. Bless us, keep us safe until this evening when we can meet together again. We ask.